I sort of imagine that's an outfit that you would wear when you make your debut on Sesame Street.
Somebody said the same thing. They said it's a very Sesame Street sweater.
Yeah. Yeah, I see you kicking it with Elmo on that.
Is that what you were going for? Is that
no, what I was Sesame going for, Street? I'm out of clothes. I have put off wearing this sweater on television. I've reached a point where I don't have anything else I haven't already worn, and so here we are.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Dan Levitard. Katie Nolan is extraordinarily bitter about her wardrobe today. That's Elle Duncan. Let's get started.
If you were a player, would you read the full 456-page CBA proposal before voting?
This is about to get interesting, all right? About 1,900 union members. All they need is a simple majority. They've been working for 300 days to put together this report, and they'll have a week to vote on it. And where we're headed here is dangerous if the players don't know what it is that they're looking at. I am not one of the people who says the stereotype athletes are dumb. I believe that these guys can get to the places they are because they are expert and smart about what they do, and sometimes it's to the lopsided detriment of everything else. But I can't get through this television show without checking my phone. There's no way that these guys are going to go through all of this and read and know everything they need to know, and they'll get help with it. They will get advised. What they need to get is people out there voting, informed people voting, because they have the help they need to understand everything in play here.
This is so important that there should be sort of like a CBA for dummies, because it is no reflection of your intellectual acumen whether you can sit through 500 pages of legal jargon. It's awful, and most of us would go unconscious reading it. If I'm a player, I just want to know the simple things, like, you know, formed in a question. Can I smoke weed now? The answer is yes, between these dates. Yeah. How much money I'm about to get? Here is your increase. Yeah. Like, that's how it needs to be. And then if there's anything else, they'll find out via a group text with the rest of their fellow employees. Yo, did you guys know we get paid 8 months now instead of four? That kind of stuff.
Yeah, you guys have to read it. I know it's boring. I know I'm about to talk about it, and I didn't read it, but it doesn't affect me as much as it affects you. Get your agent to help you to break it down, because there's going to be things that make headlines that you'll hear about, like the weed stuff. But there's other stuff in there that you're going to want to know, and it doesn't affect all of the players. It doesn't affect necessarily the stars, who are the people who are going to be lobbying and telling you to vote one way or another, because it's going to affect those guys who don't get paid that much. It's 60% of the league is on minimum salary. That's enough for a majority vote. So if they're paying attention to what the benefits are for them, then they'll be able to bond together, get out their vote, and get a CBA pass that will help them. A really interesting thing that's in there that I noticed that no one will probably talk about because it's super boring to talk about is that fully funded rule, that's usually what owners use to argue that they cannot guarantee contracts to players, which says that you have to have all of the money that's guaranteed held in escrow minus $2 million, has now been changed to minus $15 million and eventually $17 million. So you will be able, or players ideally will be able with their agents, to negotiate for more guaranteed money. That's super boring, all the things I just said,
Katie,
but it's a big deal.
You are so right. It was incredibly boring,
yes.
But I love it.
But I said
it
in this sweater.
No, but I love it juxtaposed against Elle. Hey, where's the weed and the money? That's all I care about. Those are two good things to put next to each other.
Hello.
Katie, you've read all 400 pages. You intend to read all 400 pages. There is some interesting stuff in there. There really is.
Yes, like the commissioner is no longer judge, jury, and executioner when it comes to violations of the personal conduct policy. That's a big thing that we've discussed every time there's some sort of a violation by a player, that the commissioner has this wide-reaching control over the entire situation. That's now changed to an independent arbitrator. There's tuition assistance and 401ks for people on practice squads. Practice squads are being expanded from 10 to 12 and eventually 14 players. There's going to be more money for them. There's a lot of boring stuff on this card, Dan, and I'm happy to tell you all of it.
Where the weed at? Yeah.
Listen, I'm not saying there's not important stuff in the CBA. I'm just saying they're not about to read it. What else do you pay your agent for if not for times like this?
Read it, lawyer/minion. Read it for me. CBA, I'd rather have CBD.
Oh, no.
Would you rather build around Luka or Zion?
It's a great question. They play last night, and Luka had 7 turnovers, but another triple-double because that's what he does, and Dallas ends up winning the game. Now, both of these guys are going to do some physical and actual growing here because Zion Williamson is just 19 years old. Luka is 21 years old, but the answer to this question, I believe, is Luka. I know how explosive and crazy the whole Zion Williamson thing is, but he is such a well-rounded offensive player and can do this already at 21 years old. I just think his ceiling is higher overall game than Zion Williamson's is, but it's hard to say something like that.
Yeah, it's a great question, but also an impossible question to answer. The answer is yes. I'd rather build around either of them. I would take them both. But I would go with Zion. He's just an anomaly. We have not seen somebody shaped like that, at that size, move at that speed, and be that dynamic of a player. Also, it goes without saying, he's got name recognition. Zion Williamson, what an incredible name. It's both unique and interesting and easy to pronounce and spell. There's no confusion. Doncic gets a little confusing for a lot of
That's
people.
True.
It's not his fault. It's a great name, but there's a lot of like, is it Chick? Is it Cheech? Is it Sick? Nobody really knows. I know it's Chick, right? Chich? See, I already messed it up, and
Which
it's literally my job to know. The problem is, that's the only thing you can, that's all I can point to, the difference between the two of them. I would take either of them, but I would go with Zion.
I actually agree with Katie and disagree with you a little bit, Dan, and that I actually think that the ceiling is higher for Zion, because I think that we kind of forget about the fact that Luka Doncic was the MVP in the Euro Leagues, the second most important basketball league in the world. This guy's been playing with the pros for years, so clearly he was going to come in a more well-polished and ready-to-go package. He's certainly doing things that we didn't expect. He's making history when you're on a list with Oscar Robertson and Michael Jordan, right? Like, what you're doing is magnificent and special. But I think in terms of growing a franchise and building a franchise, like, Zion Williamson is the kind of bully and the kind of disruptor we haven't seen in the post since Shaq. And if you're comparing apples to oranges, which is essentially what you're doing with these two people because they're very, very different, you take a Dirk, right, which is a little bit more of what a Luka is, a guy that can create, a guy that can literally shoot from any position on the floor, can play 4 or 5 positions, compared to a Zion, who is more like a Shaq. Shaq was your household name. Shaq was your guy. He's the guy that's going to put the butts in the seats. I'm still going with Zion because I feel like he has more untapped potential.
You guys are doing a lot of personality stuff here, those star power stuff. Like, yes, of course, he's an American superhero, but you guys are saying you build around him from a marketing perspective
sure.
as much as from a playing perspective.
Yes.
Both. They both count. If you're building a franchise around somebody, they have to be good, of course, but both of these guys are good. So then you look at the differentiating factors, and I think for Zion, it's that he has that incredible star power. Also, Elle, how different are apples from oranges, would you say?
Yes.
Well, I would say that, you know, some would say that an apple a day would keep a doctor away and that
True.
Oranges can be confusing. It's a color, is a fruit. Which one came
Ooh.
First? But upon my examinations, I would say an apple. It's a little bit easier to eat.
You
oranges
can do television
can be
on command like that. That was fairly amazing that she had an answer for your absurd question.
But to be fair, her answer was oranges can be confusing.
How much has the NBA missed Steph Curry?
Okay, the Golden State Warriors have missed him. Our interest in the Golden State Warriors has gone from higher than it ever was for that franchise to as low as it's ever been in that franchise because you can't name many of the people that they're throwing on the floor after mattering for 4 years in a way that very few teams have ever mattered. So where we are tonight is he comes back, a legitimate star, and we haven't missed him all that much because you've had all the talk about these young players who are coming for the things that Steph Curry already has. But of course, shooting from the outside and shooting from distance is something that he has made this sport more than anybody else. He has changed the game because of his range, and you want to see a guy like that play at the top of his game.
I don't want to be the person to say that sometimes the timeliness of a devastating leg injury coupled with a broken hand is actually good for the sport, but like everyone was ready for the Warriors to go away. And while it would have been fun to do this whole, oh, can they still do it? And like, here they are, the three scrappy superstars trying to prove that they don't need Kevin Durant. Nobody is missing the fact that Oakland has had a stranglehold on the NBA for years. We want parity. And to be honest with you, for those that are saying Steph shouldn't come back because the Warriors are trash and who cares, I would say a hand injury is totally different than a knee or an ankle injury. And also, you guys, it's been almost a decade since we've seen like carefree, I've got absolutely nothing to lose Steph Curry, and we've been getting ridiculous basketball from him with plenty of pressure on him. Can you imagine now? There was absolutely no reason for him to not go out there and act a damn fool.
Yeah, I completely agree. Also, this makes the regular season matter, which is a thing that we've been discussing about, like, why is everybody always extending their injuries? That's kind of the norm now, ever since Kawhi talked himself out of San Antonio because he was upset with the way they handled his injury. We're seeing players take extended periods of time off in order to save themselves for games that are perceived to matter, when that's basically saying that the regular season doesn't matter. So I think Steph coming back right now, which it's worth noting, Steph wanted to come back sooner, and the Warriors, because of their history with injury and the way they're perceived publicly, made him wait a little bit longer. So I think Steph coming back now, and like Elle said, just balling out with absolutely no pressure, is a good thing. There's also still storylines to follow. Like, he's only 8 three-pointers away from hitting 2,500. That's something he'll probably realistically hit. There's also 5 guys on the team that he has never played a single game with. That's super interesting. Who are you? What's your name? I think Steph coming back is great, and I think it's weird that people hate it. Go, Steph. Great ending. Good button. Solid.
I really feel like you. I feel like you were so strong there, Katie, and you just sort of petered out.
I know.
You started leaking confidence. Yeah.
I know.
I know.
Yeah. I ran up to the cliff, and then I was like, I don't want to do it.
Yeah. The open in the middle was fantastic. The close.
It really was.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're going to air the ending, though, unfortunately.
Thanks so much. Thank you. Yeah.
It's going to end the A block.
That's fair. It's fair. You're welcome.
I'm team Steph. I say go for it, and you go, boy.
Go, team.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
Oh, no. No.
What
is he trying to do?
Oh, my God. Oh, listen to that sound again. Listen.
Oh!
It's time to play the game that's finally back. Do you question?
You give us topics and events, we question them. We're happy to have Elle back, too. You too, Katie. Don't feel bad.
No, I don't. I love Elle.
Do you question what this parkour guy was going for?
Always.
Okay, yeah, yeah. This happens around here all the time. We've got an assortment of parkour mishaps that I'm hoping we show at some point here. But let's check in with the latest.
Oh, no. No.
What is he trying to do? Oh, my God. Listen to that sound again. Listen.
Okay. The sound of a collapsed lung.
But impressive, if you have to find the impressive moment, he pops up very quickly. I, the other day, fell outside the office. Which is a weird thing to do as an adult sober. I was walking into work and I ate it. And I'll tell you, when you first hit, you just like lay there and go, what do I do now? Should I stay here for a minute? And I did. I laid down for a minute. That guy popped right back up.
The shame made him get right back up.
God, that's so stupid. Play video games, guys. What are we doing? Yeah,
exactly.
Well, it's funny you should say that it's stupid, because is it as stupid as any of this?
Oh, let's go. Also stupid. I've thought about doing that, though, when you're on the wrong side. Okay.
Yeah.
No.
This one scares me every
time. Oh!
You can't do that in those shorts. Can't do it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that seems awful. Yeah. And here's me. Here's me right here. A wild night. Yes, there it is right there. I was having a lot of drinks.
Do you question if you blame the guy on the motorcycle or the guy on the motorcycle's friend for trusting the guy on the motorcycle?
Okay, see, that's an excellent question. I wish we had led the show with it today. Let's see what we have here. Whose fault is this? The guy on the motorcycle or the guy trusting the guy on the motorcycle?
Oh, God. No!
Oh! Wow. I am mortified.
Oh, there was pinching for sure.
Yes,
that's like what we talked about yesterday.
There was pinching.
Like yesterday we were talking about guys who let you shoot a thing off your head. It's like you're really trusting that your friend is good at this skill. You should not trust your friends that much, ever.
I feel like he passive aggressively did that on purpose. Like the guy's legs are spread wide open and he just so happens to wheel his little bike right in between. Like, no, like that was 100% on purpose to me.
Oh, but on purpose, maybe, but passive aggressive. Like, what kind of passive aggressive are you dealing with?
Yeah, that's aggressive.
That ends up feeling like that. That's
straight up
aggressive.
I'm so sorry, dude. I didn't know. I just lost a little bit of control. Are we good?
We're not good.
Ladies, I'd like to introduce you to someone who would be totally fine if that happened to him. He would have no problem with it whatsoever.
No, I've seen this.
This man right here.
No,
yes, this
I man
right
clip.
Here. He's got no issues whatsoever. That is quality television right there. Quality.
Highly questionable is broadcast from the Clevelander Hotel on beautiful South Beach, Miami.
Time to play the game that thinks Dan wore a neutral jacket out of fear today.
Yeah,
see?
That's true. Yeah.
Or no.
Yeah, that's totally true what you said there. It is neutral. You can't really make too much fun of it. Light blue, very boring. Give us what's on television tonight. We'll tell you if we're intrigued.
You can't make fun of this either.
Yeah, well, not possible.
Tonight at 8, Clippers and Rockets.
I don't like watching the Rockets play basketball. Daryl Morey seems to want me to apologize for that. I will not apologize for that. But here's a pass from James Harden in a recent game against the Celtics. From James Harden to Russell Westbrook.
Yes.
Giannis says Harden never passes. And there it is. He passed the ball to Russell Westbrook. Yes. I thought we were going to get a dunk or an alley-oop there. But nope.
A nice pass.
It's just he's always looking for the corner three. Katie, how about you? Are you intrigued?
Yeah, sure. I'm intrigued. I think that was a nice pass, and he probably could have hit it if he just, you know, checked into the game, which is what you have to do first.
Yeah, that's right. That's correct. How about you, Elle? Are you intrigued?
Can confirm. I am, actually. I like the pocket Rockets. The Celtics, which was supposed to be a team that could, you know, take down that kind of look, were unable to succeed. I think the Clippers are a much better version of the Celtics. I'm interested to see.
All right.
What happens there?
It's her Boston fandom. She doesn't like it when people do that.
So the Clippers aren't a better version of the Celtics?
I just don't think it's something that the question wasn't asked. So why give the answer?
So did the Celtics beat the Rockets?
So, as I said.
Okay, so then everything that you just said doesn't matter?
It wasn't what the question was. What if we stuck to the questions and answered those?
Ladies, come on now. This is see or no. It's just a happy little thing. We don't need first take.
You're right. My bad. You know what, Dan? You're right. My bad. Let me go back and say it from a Katie Nolan perspective. I'm just excited to see two guys go out there and really play each other and do a great job. Two teams with tons of grit.
I'm sorry.
You know, go Rockets and go Clippers too. I hope they can both win.
Tonight on E, Very Cavallari.
Okay, Katie is in immediately. Elle, it seems like Elle is bewildered. She's a bit shocked. We'll find out what she has to say about this in a second. I don't know what's happening with that face, but we'll find out in a second. Let's see what's happening on this show. What happened, Elle? Elle, snap out of it. I don't know what happened there. Let's check it out.
What's your show?
How do you know?
GPS.
Oh, really?
Just shot my phone in the water.
No.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Swear to God.
My phone's gone.
What do you mean?
I missed my pocket.
So do you need to go back and get it?
I'm not going to dive in the water.
You're just going to leave it?
Well, I don't see another option.
Jay just dropped his phone in the water.
Dropped his phone? It's gone?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No.
And he doesn't even care.
Do you have Find My iPhone?
Find My iPhone.
I did not have him dressing in the offseason like Huck Finn. Katie, are you intrigued?
Yes, of course I'm intrigued. It's very fascinating how shocked everyone is by the idea that in a very small boat he would drop his phone in the water. But also I'd love to say one of the best things about the show is Kristen Cavallari has an outfit for every situation and Jay Cutler has a hat.
Elle, how about you? I'm dying to know what that face meant. No, you're not interested?
Dan, at this point, you guys are trolling me. I haven't even done this show in 2 months, and the first time I'm back, it's another freaking Are You Watching Barry Cavill? You've asked me this question 3 times. Check the tape, Dan. Every time I do this show, you ask me, and every time the answer's no.
Stop
asking me about this show, Dan. Jesus. No!
Listen to me. This is how in reruns we are. It's not only just that we played for you 3 times. I heard one of you moan, really? You're going to show me the guy again getting hit in the junk with a sledgehammer? Really?
And they're equal levels of content, Very Cavallari, and a man getting hit repeatedly in the crotch with a sledgehammer.
In syndication, Jeopardy.
I feel like I always say yes to Jeopardy. I feel like the videos that come from Jeopardy and land on this show tend to be pretty good. What do we have here?
Joel Embiid in 2019 won the trademark for this nickname of his. that also describes the 76ers' strategy of improving the team.
Oh, no.
Paul.
What is do a 180?
No. Margaret or Mike? What is the process?
Let's just check out real quick. Instead of looking at the guy in the middle who made a dope of himself and we're laughing at him, let's check out Kenny G over here next to him, just frozen stiff. He doesn't want any part of this question.
Joel Embiid in 2019 won the trademark for this nickname of his that also describes the 76ers' strategy of improving the team. Paul.
What is do a 180?
No. Margaret or Mike? What is the
Mike
process?
Mike doesn't want any part of anything there. Katie, are you intrigued?
I mean, of course I'm intrigued. What a great nickname. Old Joel Duo 180 Embiid rolls right off the tongue.
It's a terrible nickname. Elle, are you intrigued?
I love the fact that we're taking an opportunity to probably make fun of an astrophysicist for being an idiot because it's sports-related.
So fair.
You're so stupid. Fair. You're an idiot.
So fair, you idiot.
Look, you don't know this useless piece of information.
You're not as smart as the people who keep televising Jay Cutler and his wife and that guy with the sledgehammer. You're not as smart as us, astrophysicist guy.
Dummy.
You can find both these ladies on your televisions. Elle Duncan will be there at noon every day on SportsCenter. And tonight or tomorrow morning, 1 a.m. ESPN2, Always Late with Katie Nolan. Check it out.
I'm going to wear this shirt, so
are
sorry.
You're still going to be wearing it? You're still going to be wearing it.
I'm going to watch your show, Katie, after I don't watch Very Cavallari.
There it is. Jesus. Aggressive. That was passive-aggressive. Aggressive-aggressive.